Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park tonight. The first of three against the Yankees. Yankees have won two in a row. Have had a bad about month and a half, but they possibly get Giancarlo Stanton back for this series. It'll be Zach Wheeler versus Luis Gil. You can hear first pitch at 6:40 today. We'll actually have Susan Waldman, longtime Yankees broadcaster, on with us at around 4:45 today.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure she hated me, and I'm going to ask her
the
air. Yes, if she hated me.
Well, you're an acquired taste.
Yeah, I am. Well, see, I usually think people like me more at first and then like me less the better they know me. So I don't think I'm the opposite of an acquired taste, I think.
Sounds like a Twitter question.
Yeah.
Well, I think with this show with our listeners, you can develop to do an acquired taste.
Yes, but this show is certainly an acquired taste.
By the way, I do think Stanton is back. We just saw him taking BP on the field, and he's pretty huge.
Yeah, he is a monster. He's Judge, too. I think Judge is, what, 6'8"? Something like that? 6'7", 6'8"?
Yeah, Soto's a little smaller, but he's still yoked.
Yeah. So we're going to play some sound for you from Paris Campbell, Eagles wide receiver, about the mindset with the Eagles in training camp in a moment. First, let's talk to Mark in the Northeast about the Phils. Mark, you're on WIP.
I don't think it's time to hit the panic button yet, fellas. This is a fair weather fan season, you know, mid-July, dog days. I think once we get into, you know, prime time or the playoffs, this team will put it right back on where it needs to be here. 25 games above, rather. 10 ahead of the Braves, pretty much. 9.5, how you want to put it.
You know, think the Braves anymore? Are you more worried about the Mets? I mean, the
you know what? Division.
I don't know if I'd say worry as much as I got my eye on the Mets. It's surprising, man. They were stringing them together. Let's put it that way. But we'll see if that can hold up. You know what I mean? I think the Phillies will come bounce right back from this. I just think it's a long summer, long season, and these guys, you know, it's kind of lackadaisical. They're not meaningless games. But when you are at the top of the hill and looking down at everybody, it's easy to kind of put it in autopilot and. Hopefully, like I said, they can just put that spark and light it right back up.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is it's not that I think the last 7 weeks or whatever, or them going 500 is the end of the world. What I want, though, is for this team to be clicking at the end of the year. And I'm just worried that they're going to spend the next, you know, however long, especially if the other teams in the division don't push them, they're going to spend the next however long sort of coasting through the rest of the year and go to flip that switch. And it's not that easy to say. If it was so easy to say, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to hit well today instead of not hitting well today, it's just not that easy. And they, like, whatever that magic they had is going to take more than waking up and deciding to be good again to do. And I think that this is going to sound like coach speak, but winning's a habit. And well, it's true. playing well and doing the right things are a habit. And the thing, Mark, that has worried me a little bit is not the bats going cold, actually, is the sort of mindless play in the field and the mindless play on the base paths and just
lackadaisical.
Yeah, and
it's like work. Sometimes you go to work, you're just going through the motions. Other times, I mean, I don't know about you, but the American way, sometimes you're there, you're hustling, you're getting things done. Because speaking of work, I got a good call out for you. I'm calling out because I'm going to the parade.
Yeah, it's a big one.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
We all use that.
That's a good one.
For that.
Yeah.
A good boss will let you call out.
Oh, I need some mic juice. Can I get some mic juice before you go?
Oh, look at my time. They must have been drinking that Ike juice.
Yeah, baby.
All right, Mark. So next question today is give us a way that you called out of work, an excuse you used, because Joe Giglio used his anniversary for a day off today. Really,
again, it's a Monday.
Totally disgraceful. Yeah, what are they doing, you know, on Monday?
Maybe traveling back, but again, nah. You got to look at the schedule.
Yeah,
that's more my main point. Like, you can't be Mr. Baseball. Like, I know, like, one Mr. Baseball is here all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just once again a little, you know, hierarchy of baseball men at the station.
Are you worried?
That's a good point.
Are you worried? Are you hitting the panic button in the Phillies? 215-592-9494. Okay, so we have training camp still going on. And one of the things that we were obviously just started last week, one of the things that as Ike mentioned before break, that was one of the reasons for the Eagles' collapse was whatever was going on in that locker room, whether it's players, coaches, players, whatever it was. And you would hope coming into this year that they would have a renewed focus. And Ike, you've mentioned a few times that they want to prove everyone, you know, wrong.
Yes.
A chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. So Paris Campbell actually spoke about the mindset at training camp this year.
You know, talking about that chip that the team and the organization has, like, bro, we walked into it. Like, OTAs and the offseason program, like, I was like, yo, we kind of, like, we grinding. Like,
yeah,
like, what's going on? Like,
yeah,
we need, like, offseason
right.
program, kind of chill, relax, look, guys, you know what I'm saying, get back into it. I'm like, yo, was y'all doing this last year? And like, nah, bro, like, we finished 1-7, so,
yeah.
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't sweet. Like, we're yeah. trying to, you know what I'm saying, get guys back going. And you can definitely see, you know, the chip just from top to bottom. And that was kind of like when I signed with them, talking to Howie Roseman, the GM, that was kind of like what he was telling me. He was like, yo, like, we think you had that chip on your shoulder just from what happened with you. And he was like, I can tell you damn straight, like, we got that chip on our shoulder just because of how we finished.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, yeah, like, I'm walking into a team that's hungry.
So where was that from? I want to give proper credit. Do you know?
I thought it was just a press conference, but it kind of sounded like a podcast.
It does sound like it. Yeah, it sounds like it. We'll get that for sure. That is good, mm-hmm. man, to hear, especially for a guy who was not here last year, mm-hmm. to walk in and say, hey, I heard about how it went, and then walking around and looking at everyone and saying, hey, this team is practicing and preparing like a team with something to prove.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly seem to have reset their minds and gotten back to a place where you put the blinders on and forget about what we've done in the past. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do to prove not only to ourselves, you know, to our coaches, to this organization, you know, each one holding each other accountable. I think a lot of them got that message. I think that message rang down from the top. I really do. I think that message rang down to a number of people, especially essential figures, people who have the ability to impact others on the roster. So when you talk about the key figures, they have to all be bought in first and foremost. And I love the fact that, hey, last year was not acceptable. The way the season ended is not acceptable. And we're back on the grind. Listen, AJ and his videos this offseason, he's looking like T.O. running around here. I mean, Jalen seems to be in the right place mentally, physically. People talking about what he looks like physically out there. You know what? Maybe Jalen is in better shape this year. I don't know, compared to where he was last year. He may have thought he worked hard enough last year, but you don't know when you're coming off a season where everybody's patting you on the back. You don't normally get patted on the back when you lose a Super Bowl. We did a lot of that around here last year.
There was a lot of
patting. A lot of that. I was like, oh, man, we're great. Yeah, you know, people weren't even upset. I mean, Jack was one of them.
Hold on.
Wasn't upset after the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, listen, they're going to go back next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, it was like, oh, it's okay.
Were you like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was cocky.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. But and I understand because it came sooner than we all expected and everybody is so young. So you feel like the window is going to be open forever. But I think they got off track a little bit last year. And it wasn't just schematically. Some of it had to do with focus, being connected, everybody pulling in the same direction. Now when everybody has sort of failed, you got to be like, everybody had to eat a little humble pie. Even Nick, I don't know how much mean mugging in the cameras you're going to see this year. I didn't see a lot of it last year. As a matter of fact, last time we heard from Nick being bravado was after the Kansas City game, right? That's the last time he was talking trash after the game. Like, so I don't know if you're going to see a lot of that this year. I like you said, I like where their head is at mentally. I hear a guy like Paris Campbell say that. That sounds good to me.
And so Sirianni also talked today about how they're going to do more conditioning, like extra conditioning.
Yeah, Elliot mentioned that a little bit last week, too. Yeah.
The little things.
Yeah.
Grind.
So I don't want to oversell this.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I am, since the first day of training camp, I'm cooking up a take, Ike, that I think is going to surprise everyone. And I need to think about it more to say whether I'm comfortable.
You're ready to get on board. I know it. I know what it is, man, because that's what this team will do to you. So I know it. You're close to it every day. I was waffling with 11-6. Forget about that.
You're at 13.
I'm going closer. I'm a strong 12-5 right now because after the press conference. This was all before the press conference. This was all before the Jalen Hurts press conference. Since then, I've been a strong 12-5. I need to see what we look like in pads and how much they play in the preseason.
Oh, they're going to pass tomorrow, Ike.
Yeah, I know. I just want to know if it's going to be a patty cake out there. It's going to get something going on. There's going to be some paint moving off some helmets, or are we just going to be out there pillow fighting?
I have to tell you.
Yeah.
You have the tone of the take correctly.
Okay.
But I think the take specifically –
It don't matter. As long as it's positive, you'll be okay.
It will. I think it's going to rock Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, and I got to be honest, I know where the take is going.
Yeah.
Sickening. It is absolutely sickening.
I'll just – look, I'm nothing if not honest. I'm annoying, yes. I'm temperamental, yes.
Acquired taste.
Acquired taste, scared of large bodies of water, a lot of things.
Let me just say this.
But I am honest.
Let me just say this. Let me say this.
Yeah.
You can say it.
We do better when the likes of you and yours keep that energy away from us.
You and yours?
Yes.
What does that even mean?
That means all you detractors.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about. All you detractors. You detractors.
It was a racial thing.
No, come on, stop it. You detractors. That's what I'm talking about. The ones who don't believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's when you guys start to feel a little bit of the juice yourselves and you want to start being positive when things go wrong, right? You know, Johnny Marks in 2022 wanted to trade Jalen. Everything was bad. Super Bowl year. Awesome. Last year, everybody wanted to be positive going into the season. Look what happened. Jack even tried to be positive. Look what happened.
He was lying.
Yeah, I like when there's doubt there.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me I can't?
No, you can. Okay. I'm just saying don't go over the top with
I'm not going to go over the top.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
I'm not going to go over the top.
I need you saying Jalen's going to be the MVP now of that.
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's what I'm feeling.
I'm cooking it up.
Okay.
Obviously, I can't do it tomorrow because it's deadline day. We'll
you
be
let
at
Elliot's
McGurk's.
Stats got to you, didn't
we'll it? Be at McGurk's. I'm saying I'm
trusting Elliot's eyes.
Trusting Elliot's stats. No, that's what it is.
I'm taking everything into account. This is an entire.
Oh, I've been telling you this all offseason.
You're one. Yeah.
You know, a little bit. Yeah. I have to take everything into account. I have to take
Who
everything
cares
into
what
account.
I said.
No, I just like, you know, oh, I'm in
Jack
too many
said,
meetings with you.
Jack said it. Who
I'm
cares?
In too many meetings with you.
You brought the meetings a little far too often
saying,
these airwaves.
No.
Hey, far too often.
Yeah.
What look, we discussed there
stays there.
I'm just saying, look. I ruminate on things. I think about everything.
What does that mean?
I think about you, and I think about Elliot's stats and the press conferences and Paris Campbell talking. Do we know where that came from yet?
No.
We don't know where that came from yet.
Nowhere.
Well, I think about everything. I get up early in the morning, I stare at my computer, and I was doing it this morning, and I had the kernel of this Eagles take that I will maybe be debuting on Wednesday.
Boy,
I don't know. I can't do it tomorrow.
Though, I hope John Ross makes this roster.
Back to John Ross.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I do.
Well, I mean, it's not like they have a ton of wide receivers, right? I mean, he's almost got to make the roster, right?
No. I mean, he's been out of football for 2 years.
Well, I mean, so Campbell, you figure, makes the roster. Mm-hmm. Aside from the first two, Campbell makes the roster.
And you got a bunch of young guys.
Yeah. The guys they drafted. Well, the Johnny Wilson, what's his name? Is that his name?
Johnny Wilson.
Jalen's been impressed by him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he's too tall.
Well, but I guess the alignment with Elena.
You think Harold Carmichael was too tall?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
No. But I think Johnny Wilson is too tall.
Would you give him number 17?
No.
Okay.
No. All right. Carl in Maple Shade, you're on WIP. What's up, Carl?
Good day to you guys. You know, the Phillies are loaded up.
That's who I just saw out on the field. I'm sorry, Carl.
That's okay.
That was Chaz. That was Chisholm I saw out there.
Yep. Oh, Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought I recognized who it was, but I didn't know who it was, so I just looked back.
Yes.
Yeah, now I know who it was, yeah.
The most famous number 13 in Yankees history.
Yep.
Jazz Chisholm.
Shouldn't they retire A-Rod's number, 215?
215-592-9494. Sorry, Carl. What's
sorry
up
about that, Carl.
No, it's all good. You know, the Phillies were loaded up. Let them get through this. They got a tough spot right now. Mm-hmm. But it don't matter, because when the real time comes, we'll see what happens then. But, you know, I would like to switch gears to Nick Sirianni.
Okay.
And I've hit the wall with if one more media person asks Nick, what is your job? If that media person asks that question, it's going to tell me you have a lack of knowledge and partial ignorance to what it takes to be a head coach in the NFL. I'm tired of it. It's not fair to the fans, to anybody else. And I don't think that's the way we should be approaching it.
What do you think he does do?
I think he's got more responsibilities behind the scenes than anybody knows. That's why I don't think anybody should be talking about it.
Yeah, I think... Thank you for the call, Carl. I think the team set... I'm not saying they set him up. That's the bad choice of words. A situation certainly arose where people would question his role, given how integral he was to the offense previously and how much less impact we think he'll have on the offense this year. I don't think it's a question that is fair to ask over and over again, though I don't think anyone else has asked it since camp. But I think it is fair to wonder, especially given how that question was answered at that year-end press conference about, or maybe it was the Kellen Moore press conference, about what his job actually was, and they didn't really answer the question all that well. I think they set up a situation where that would be a question. But clearly, as you've mentioned, Ike, and as other people have mentioned, most head coaches are not calling plays, offensively or defensively. They have a resume that is either offensive or defensive, and usually they have more input on one side. You consider a head coach an offensive head coach or a defensive head coach, but not every head coach is Sean McVay or Andy Reid, where all they are is considered this offensive mastermind.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, what was his name? What's the last caller's name?
What was his name? Was he Carl?
That's Carl.
Carl. Yeah, I'm kind of like Carl, man. I don't know, man. I don't know what else to say about Nick Sirianni. I think people know or have a general idea of what he is as a head coach, and you either are okay with it or you aren't okay with it. I don't even know what is it that you're looking for to be satisfied with him as a head coach. If you don't respect him as an offensive mind, you don't want him involved in the offense. Right, Jack?
Right.
Yeah, you don't want him involved in the offense. So, therefore, if he's not involved in the offense, you're happy as a fan. Mm-hmm. Yes. So then what else would it – and by the way, I don't think you're alone in that. I don't think there's anybody clamoring for Coach Sirianni to be the play caller or be heavily involved in the offense. So if you don't want him involved in the offense, what else would you like for him to do that would make you happy?
Be there.
Well, he is there.
I know, but like I don't even doing much.
No, I'm just saying for people. That was really a rhetorical question. That wasn't for you, really.
Yeah.
That's just me for people who want to know, like, what does Nick Sirianni do? Well, if you ask Andy Reid, what does Andy Reid do? What do you think Andy Reid's going to tell you he does? He calls plays on Sundays? Is that what he's going to tell you?
No, that's not what he's going to
do. Exactly. Right. He's not going to tell you that.
But that's
he does all the other things. If you ask Mike Tomlin, what does he do as a head coach? What is he going to tell you?
Sets the culture.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
John Harbaugh the same way.
Rob Thompson. It's not like he's out there calling every pitch and telling them.
Sure.
I
completely agree. I don't know. That's why I've always argued that. Not that what he does isn't important. I've never felt that way. But I know what he doesn't do well. That's call plays. That's call plays. Yeah. He does not do that very well.
Tom from Abington, you're on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Yo, fellas. I paid attention to the opening, so I know you all are okay today.
So, we're good.
Yeah. So before I get into the Phillies and your worrying, Spike, as far as Nick Sirianni goes, the first question posed to him today was pretty much asking him what he does.
I didn't hear it. And how did he answer it?
Okay, well, that's my point about Nick Sirianni. Part of his answer was he coaches the coaches.
Yeah.
So does anybody out there believe that Nick Sirianni is coaching Vic Fangio?
Yes.
To do what?
I'm not saying I think you're misunderstanding what he said. He's not telling Vic Fangio which defenses to call or where to put the linebacker.
No, I know.
But he's certainly telling Vic Fangio, like, Fangio said it, or it wasn't Fangio, I think it was Jordan Davis the other day, saying that Vic Fangio wants to be out there longer, and Nick Sirianni says no. You know, part of it is
so that's what he meant by coaching the coaches?
No, but part
that's
of it.
That's part of it.
It's part of it. Part of it is managing the expectation and managing the responsibilities of what the coaches do. So if the
coaches, and
it's certainly possible for Nick Sirianni at the end of each day to go to Kellen Moore, go to Vic Fangio and say, what'd you see today? And they say, well, we saw this. And you say, well, what if, oh, interesting. What about this guy? What about that guy? And honestly, part of getting higher, which is interesting to me when coordinators become head coaches, is you have a less of a hands-on day-to-day, second-to-second impact on exactly what's happening, and you're steering more the way that you steer a cruise ship instead of a jet ski.
Yeah.
A jet ski, you turn it and it goes left. A cruise ship, you have to slowly turn and plan ahead, and that's a hell of an analogy.
That's a hell of an analogy, yeah.
But it's true. That's what he has to do. So I don't think he's telling Vic Fangio anything he doesn't know about defense, but I think he's probably asking questions, and by asking those questions, getting Vic Fangio to think about what he's doing and why he's doing it. Hopefully that's what he's doing.
All right, so getting to your Phillies concerns, they're unfounded, Spike. What was your biggest worry over these past, like, say, 6 weeks?
Well, it's changed.
Yeah, but what's your biggest concern with the team? Because personally, I was worried about Sir Anthony and Alvarado, and I think they took care of that. Because this guy
they
picked up from the Angels looks nasty.
Yeah, you should look a little deeper. I'm not saying he's not effective, but I'm saying that if you think that we just traded for, Mariano Rivera, we have not.
I think Hoffman should be the closer.
Yeah, I honestly don't think Estevez is that much of an upgrade over Sir Anthony, to be quite honest with you.
Really?
I don't. Maybe an upgrade over current Sir Anthony, but you're looking at a guy who, like, when you look at the numbers, gives up a lot of fly balls, guys hit the ball very hard, has an uncharacteristically low walk rate for the rest of his career. It doesn't strike guys out. Like, I think
given up a run in 18 innings, you know.
Great. But he's 18 innings for it is an incredibly small sample size. What happens with a reliever is because it happens all year, you assume that it's a bigger sample size than it actually is. Look, maybe he's having one of those years. He's just having one of those years where everything goes right. He's dialed in. He's throwing strikes. He puts the ball where it should be, and it's magical. And look, he's not signed beyond this year anyway. And if all Dombrowski needed to do was he knew he wanted Hayes and he had to give up Sir Anthony, so he just basically replaced Sir Anthony, that's fine. But if anybody thinks, including the team, that we should be sticking this guy in the ninth inning as if it is just written, this guy should be the ninth inning guy, I completely disagree with that. And I think historically, when you look at this guy, that's not what you're getting. I just I don't now, think, I don't think
so. Now you got me worried about the Philly spike. Great job.
I'm not trying to do that. I just don't, honestly, Tom, give me a way you got out of
question?
Work for next question. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually called out Rich. I hit the lottery for $1 million on the scratch off. I was working at Acme in the local 29 meat cutters.
Really?
And I called. Yeah, it was on a Friday. I called out Rich, and my boss goes, "Oh, well, feel better." He thought I said sick, and we'll see you Monday. I said, "No, no, no, I didn't say sick. I said Rich. Bye."
Oh, wow, really? I don't think I've ever heard this story.
That is amazing.
Won the lottery and quit. That's everyone's like dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome, Tom.
Bucket list item, and I kicked it.
Yeah.
Okay. How'd you lose it all?
Tom. Yeah, yeah, how'd you lose it?
How did I lose what?
All the money.
I didn't lose it. I got property. I'm doing well, man. I'm a home infusion nurse. Life is good.
All right, brother. Thank you for the call.
That's pretty good, Tom.
That is a good one.
Yeah, man. I don't think I've ever heard that story.
Won the lottery is a big answer.
Yep, it is a big answer.
I don't know many people that have won the lottery from that type of standpoint. I've heard people hit the number for a couple hundred dollars or whatever, maybe even a couple thousand. My brother actually hit the number for $21,000. Bastard didn't even tell me to have that he was already... His money was already gone. I wonder how he took that trip to Miami, though. Anyway.
215-592-9494. Are you worried? Are you hitting the panic button on the Phillies yet? 215-592-9494. We'll get more into the Estevez situation during the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Coming up next, we're talking a little bit about Eagles training camp. Elliot Shore Parks has been stationed at the NovaCare facility, being spun left and right since he got there, but keeping track of the training camp stats, and we will check in with Elliot coming up next. We are at Citizens Bank Park from the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth right on the concourse behind Section 125. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Citizens Bank Park, live from the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth. Elliot's call-in is presented by T-Mobile. Switch T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan. Use the savings calculator to find out how at tmobile.com/switch. Elliot, how we feeling, buddy?
Man, just the vision of that song blasting through Citizens Bank Park is just bringing
it
on.
It might get the team back on track, baseball. Elliot.
Yeah. Yeah. Let you know it's baseball time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do sing along. I assume that my mic is up. I hear myself. So I have no shame in singing along to that with that song.
Well, you do a good job because I can't really tell you're singing. So you must be pretty on tune.
There you go.
So, Elliot, last time we talked to you on Friday, Jalen Hurts had an incredibly precise, impressive training camp so far. Now with another practice over the weekend, I assume they practiced again today. Would you say that is still going on, that Jalen Hurts has still been excellent in training camp?
Yeah, I would. Now, I think today was the worst day for the offense. And I say the offense because I thought today was the first day at camp where the defensive line really dominated the offensive line. And that certainly impacted the offense and Jalen. So he finished today 10 of 13. No touchdowns, no interceptions, still at 85% completion percentage through four practices, which, shows a little bit about the types of passes he is attempting. Like, he's not exactly airing it out, but the highest he's ever had in my time tracking him. So he still is completing passes at a really high level. I thought the one noteworthy play from Jalen today was he really should have had a touchdown to John Ross down the middle of the field. It was probably about maybe a 40-yard pass. John Ross beat his guy. I believe it was Keely Ringo. And he was open. I mean, he had a step on him. He was open. And Jalen just missed him. So that was probably the worst throw of the day from Jalen. But overall, he spent most of practice running around because the offensive line couldn't protect him.
Talk to me a little bit about John Ross, this training camp. Not just today, but what's he look like during training camp, and what do you think his chances are as they sit right now as far as making this roster?
Yeah, so I did my stock up, stock down today, and I think that of all the players in camp on either side of the ball, I don't think anyone's helped themselves more through camp, but even really the whole offseason, more than John Ross has. He started with his team trying out on the rookie tryout like months ago, and is now taking first team reps, and as I said, is playing well. I think what stands out to me about him, and he is fast for sure. Like, you know, he beat Kelee Ringo, he got open, he got behind the safety, so the speed is there. But what stands out to me more is his hands. It feels like he catches a lot of what's thrown his way, and it's not all easy catches. Like, I saw him on Saturday, go up along the sideline for a pass that was probably thrown too high by Jalen, went up, got it, came down, got both feet in, and made a really nice catch. So I think when you think him, you think of speed, obviously, and correctly, but he is a veteran in the way that he's now had a few years in the NFL working on his route running. And I think you can just tell that he's more than just a speed guy. So he's starting to take reps from Paris Campbell as that number three receiver. And that's more of a battle than I expected it would be coming into camp.
I tell you, I know we know him for just speed. I love what I'm hearing about the other parts of his game developing in this offense. But that speed is what would separate him from the rest of the guys. Like, he has the one element that no one else has in that room, man. I'm pulling for John Ross, man, because first of all, I think his perseverance, you know, and remaining in this league and still fighting to stay in this league would be good. He's a veteran. I think he'd be good in that position meeting room and in that locker room. So I'm pulling for John Ross to sort of make this team. And I think he'd be good for this offense, man. He stretched the field for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's the role Quez Watkins played. Like, for as much as we talked on these airways about why Watkins was playing over these last few years, it is because they like speed in that spot. Now, a little different, though, in the third receiver spot this year is, I think they're going to have A.J. and Devontae in the slot a lot more than they have to pass. That doesn't mean they don't need someone to
Well, A.J. should be in that slot more. No, I mean, I'm saying that's a good thing. Like, that's good. That's a good thing.
No, I agree 100%. But I think what it does mean is why they've like, Quez could play in the slot. Quez was not an outside guy. I think John Ross is probably undersized for the outside, and that's maybe where a Paris Campbell could get more reps there. Paris Campbell has had a decent camp. I don't think he's been special or anything, but he's just bigger than John Ross is. And I think on the outside, he'll be able to win those one-on-one matchups a little more consistently. But overall, the speed is why Watkins was on the field the past few years. And I think that's why they're really giving John Ross every opportunity to show, you know, hopefully he can be better than Quez Watkins, but every opportunity to show he can be the guy to take that role.
Well, and I also think from a Hurts perspective, giving him players, you know, the difference between having Quez Watkins in the slot and then having A.J. Brown and also having Saquon Barkley gives threats at every level to spread the field out a little bit that hopefully, you know, we saw toward the end of the year. It was like they were banging their heads against the wall because his best receivers were on the outside. There was nothing really happening on the inside. So when they weren't open, you know, we just said over and over again, nobody's open, nobody's open, nobody's open.
Yeah.
The idea of putting threats in the middle of the field to open up the sidelines a little bit and open up the field, I think will be a huge bonus to Jalen Hurts and how he plays this year.
The other part of that, though, is that I think one tendency Jalen has had, and he's probably gotten better at it, but he won't throw it to guys if he doesn't trust them. Like, throughout his career, you know, when Devontae was here, his rookie year, he mostly just threw it to Devontae. You know, when A.J. got here, he mostly just threw it to A.J. and then Devontae. So in the past, when they've had those backup tight ends on the field or the third, fourth receiver, he hasn't thrown it to him. So far in camp, Campbell has 5 targets. John Ross has 5 as well. So he's been willing to throw it to those guys. So the fact that they're playing well and Jalen's developing trust in them, you know, when they're out on the field in week 1 or, you know, throughout the season, he seems a little more willing to throw it to him than I think he has in the past.
Do you guys think he doesn't trust Goddard?
I don't know why wouldn't. He should.
It just feels like Goddard, and maybe it's that Goddard isn't as good as we all assumed he would be. He's a good player.
He's as good as we think he is.
Well, then, shouldn't he? His numbers should be better than they are.
Yep.
Well, but yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay.
I disagree with that a little bit. So I agree that Goddard is probably a top five, six tight end in this league. And if you want to do just receiving, I think he's definitely top five. His numbers are better than you think. He just misses time. So, like, there's been, I think, each of the last 2 years, he's been on pace for, you know, 800-900 yards. I think 1 year he was on pace for 1,000. But he misses time, which is part of it. But the other part of it is, I mean, just when you're behind A.J. and Devontae in the pecking order and now with Saquon there, like, you're just not going to get many targets. So an interesting kind of subplot to watch this season is he's basically in a contract year. So at the end of this season, they're going to have to decide if they want to pay Goddard or if they want to move on from him. And Goddard's going to have to decide if he wants to stay here or if he wants to go somewhere else where he's not fourth in the pecking order. So I think this year is a big one for Goddard. And, like, not only the production, but seeing how involved he is. And if it's at a level he's going to continue to be happy with.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough when you got this many weapons on the team. And the Eagles like to run the football, by the way. So it's not like they're a team who's going to throw the ball 50 times a game, 40-plus times a game, right? So the targets, he may only get five targets a game, if that, at times. Yeah, I mean, when you're in this offense, you almost have to sacrifice numbers. And I think Kittle does that to a degree. Like, Kittle never has – a ton of catches, but we know how good he is.
I think I'm
nobody's getting Travis Kelce type targets.
I think I'm just scarred from the years of other tight ends against the Eagles seemingly
killing us,
having nine catches, 137 yards. You know, Elliot.
Well, that's why they have N'Kobe. Don't worry, he's gonna.
He's great. talking to Elliot Shore Parks of the Go Birds podcast and 94 WIP, who has been at every training camp practice so far and is our what's the word I'm looking for?
The beat writer we need.
Is the beat writer we need. He's he doesn't write anymore, though.
No, Twitter personality Twitter that we need. Yeah.
He doesn't write anymore.
Well, he doesn't. Elliot, who is the – what rookie do you think has had the best camp so far and why?
What rookie do I think – so – I guess I would probably say Quinyon. I don't think any rookies had an outstanding camp. Just start with that. Okay. Like, I don't think anyone has really helped themselves. I mean, Cooper is hurt. Johnny Wilson and Ania Smith aren't really playing. So I would say Quinyon, because even though he doesn't currently seem to be in competition for that number two corner spot, it still has been pretty consistently Keeley and Isaiah Rogers opposite Slay. They've been rotating back and forth. Keeley's starting to get a little more. But that's the competition. They're finding ways to get Quinyon on the field. And I think that's encouraging for him in two ways. One, just that he's going to play, even if he's not starting every snap on the outside. So that's a positive. But two, I think it shows that they're comfortable with putting more on his plate. Like, he's played first team nickel. He's come in when they've had six defensive backs. He's played second team on the outside. So he's really played a lot of different roles. I don't think, frankly, any corner has had, like, a standout play so far. But I think Quinyon, just where they're putting him and their willingness to move him around, I think is encouraging.
Hell yeah, they want him on the field.
He better be on the field. He's a first-round pick.
Well,
okay, sure. Yeah, fair enough. Yes.
Sometimes you're not good enough to get out there. But you're right, though. I'm with you.
Fair enough.
He should be out there. Yeah, they need to find a way. You can't tell me he's not one of your top three corners.
Right. I guess my point, first-round pick at a position of need.
Yes.
A position
that I agree.
Yeah.
And guess what? Put him out there and let him learn.
Yes. Let him get burnt.
Yes, let him. He's not killing the team. Yeah.
What I think is encouraging, too, for him is, you know, watching what I did of him at Toledo after they drafted him, he played a lot of off coverage, and a lot of his big plays that he made were jumping on the ball, using his instincts. So if they can get him out there in a six defensive back look where they're playing a zone and he's just sitting there and he can read, you know, what he's seeing and not be in, like, that press man right away, I think that is an opportunity for him to maybe make a bigger impact than if he went to a team where, let's say he went, you know, top 10 and he was starting press man on the outside every snap. Like, I think they're putting him in a position to better succeed with his skill set than maybe throwing him right in there.
Yeah. Pardon me, I'm not in a rush to see that number 30 either, so I don't know, man.
Well, yeah, maybe he'll change it. I mean, you know,
I certainly hope so in the future.
Josh Sweat finally talked about why he picked 19 today, so we are getting some talk of bad jersey numbers. Agreed. Yeah.
What was his number in college? What was
it was 9.
Mitchell's?
Oh, Mitchell. I don't know.
I think it was 27. I could be wrong.
It was 27.
It's 27?
Yeah, so Zach McPherson has 27 now. My guess is by the time final cuts are made, Zach McPherson will no longer have 27. So I think there's a shot you'll see him back in 27.
Right. At least give me some 20. I need some 20 numbers. Yeah.
He is Elliot Shore Parks. You can hear him on the Go Birds podcast. Hear him all the time on WIP. Of course, following his training camp tweets is a must follow. Even if you're not a Twitter person, just looking at Elliot, sort of getting the training
Hold
camp
on.
Stats. What?
Was nephew back out of practice today?
He was. He was back out there. So,
there you go.
So the good news is, I do think the last time we talked, it wasn't clear what had happened. It ended up just being Chris. So, classify that as an injury. But he's been out there. And now that you know he's healthy, real quick, I will say, he's working his way up the depth chart. Like, the injury or cramp kind of overshadowed the fact that it was Thursday's practice, he got first team rep. So they are moving him around and putting him up there. So, encouraging start to camp, I think, for sure, for Trotter Jr. Right.
There you go. Thank you, Elliot.
All right, brother.
No problem. Talk to you guys soon.
See you, man.
Yep.
The Twitter poll brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Shop the home team and support local business. Mark's Jewelers locations in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Marks-Jewelers.com. Have you hit the panic button on the Phillies? 69% say no. 31% say they are panicking. As hard as Elliot works during training camp, makes me wonder what he does the rest of the year.
That's what, it's not about Elliot, because I know he does like podcasts. What else does anyone else do?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point. Elliot started doing basketball podcasts, makes pretend he knows about soccer.
I was
going
to say, Elliot, he's constantly working.
Yes. Yeah, what are these other guys doing?
They got draft, free agency.
Draft and free agency.
It's like two total weeks.
If we're on the air 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
We're getting mocked largely by them.
Yeah.
What do they do all
day? What do they do?
You drive all day. You go to a little practice. You listen to some press conferences.
Yeah.
You cook up a question. And then what do you do after 12?
Yeah.
What do you do?
215.
Hey, never take on people to buy ink by the barrel.
Yeah.
that used to be a saying when they did buy ink by the barrel.
They did, yeah. Yep.
And never throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes. There you go. 215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown. You're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Good day, man.
What up?
What up, Chris?
All right. First things first, guys. Why is that jinx Fritz down at the stadium when the Yankees are in town?
I'm not a jinx.
We don't need that.
I'm not a jinx.
Wow, Marks. Is Fritz a jinx?
No, Marks was the jinx. Everyone knows that, okay? Marks was the jinx. It was a big deal when he got the – he was responsible for the no-hitter in the World Series.
No. There's only one place for you right now. You need to be in the breaking news booth, all right? We don't need
you. I'm doing both.
I appreciated the tweet. I got all excited when you – but the Brent Doyle thing. So that's where I need you to be, man. I need you locked in right now. This is Fritz time, all right?
He's locked in. You should see him. He's writing stuff down,
looking
at his phone.
I've never seen him take so many notes before in my life.
Oh, yeah. Look at him. Look at all these notes.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Spike and Ike, one of you guys – pulled Trey aside and said, "Yo, sorry, Mr. Touchy's in town today. Be careful.
Oh, somebody should warn Trey that you're here.
Well, maybe it'll get him going again. He's trying to sell out for home runs, and you know,
his defense is lacking.
It's been a little cold at the plate.
Yeah, cold in the field too, buddy.
Well, that's a bigger issue.
Yeah.
And listen, like this, you know, Spike, your question about are we hitting the panic button? Hell no, I ain't hitting the damn panic button. Listen. I am, and I know Fritz is, and I know Ike is.
You are the king of fake confidence.
Yeah.
I am a Foxhole Philly fan, all right? Foxhole Philly fans don't show panic, all right? So, I'm not hitting the panic button.
You know what, though? Well, actually, I'll say it after you. What? So, next question, give us a way that you have you've called out of work.
So here's the best way. It's a little different variety than what some other people have, but I've had the privilege of doing this with my first child. So we adopted him from Guatemala, and when everything's finalized and you need to go, they literally call, and it's like 48 hours. You need to be there. So I had to call out of work to fly out to Guatemala to go to adopt my firstborn, my little baby boy, even though he's 18. He's always going to be my baby boy.
Well, that is very—that's very touching. But I just
pretty
would
good
like,
excuse.
Yeah, I would like. Thank you for the call, Chris.
Bad excuses. Yeah, not flying to go get your first.
Well, I would like to offer up to anyone else if you'd like to use that as a lie that you have to adopt a child from Guatemala. Then use it as a lie.
Yeah, and then of course, said he was lying.
Yeah. You know, there's two things. There's two things that, that people say when you bring up concern about a team. It's two things that drive me crazy. One is like that you're not a fan if you're worried about the team. That I'm telling you, the definition of being a fan is almost constantly being worried about the team.
Oh yeah.
But the second thing,
why do people do that, by the way?
Yeah, it's just like you don't, you know, like you not really even like the Phillies.
Meanwhile,
like,
no. When they lose, they'll be melting down the same.
Yes.
Like, if they lose
in the playoffs, you'll be melting down.
Right.
And the second thing is the enjoy the ride. There's nothing enjoyable about them playing bad for 7 weeks. That is not enjoying the ride. I will enjoy the ride if they win games, but there's no, I'm not going to watch them lose 2 out of 3 for 4 straight series and go, ah, this is a good ride. Absolutely not. This is not a roller coaster. I want this to be the most boring roller coaster in history that never goes down. That you get up, it goes up the hill and stays up until the very end when you come down and you get to get off the ride.
Well, what we ultimately want before we go to break here is for it to come back up now.
Yes.
It's time to come back up. Yeah, it's been down long enough.
Yes.
Now it's time to get us back on the right side of things. I'm telling you, man, this series.
It's big.
This series, I think this series can get us, because you know what? Those boys on the other side, if we don't come ready to play.
Yeah, hit the ball 600 feet. Yeah.
Now, they've been worse than the Phillies. They
have.
They're really
They won their last series.
Two in a row. Yes.
Someone's been checking up on the Yankees.
They play the Yankees today.
Yes, we looked at the next opponent.
I follow all of baseball, unlike people like you, Jack, who only look at the Phillies.
By the way, won't be hard to do round the horn today, buddy.
A lot of Yankees. I want to get to the Cole game on Tuesday, tomorrow night. Give me that fraud loser.
He's not a fraud during the regular season, tell you that. All right, coming up
next. Tomorrow's a battle of cap and solo shots.
Yes, it is.
Nola versus Cole.
Coming up next. Tomorrow is the trade deadline.
Oh, yes.
The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report
will
be full of information, insider information on the trade deadline. That is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Citizens Bank Park, broadcasting live from the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon. And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.